that cost a life, that paid my way. Death, its price, and when it flowed down from the cross, my sins were gone, my sins forgot. There is a grave that tried to hide this precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days, he breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he dries every tear that falls.
Sights the blind, that heals the sick, the lonely finds. It has the power to free the bound as chains they fall upon the ground. So pour it out to cleanse my soul, and let his liquid glory flow, because he lives to make me whole. I owe my life, I owe my all. So I
come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he dries that falls.
So I
come to tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim
that he's
coming back for you. What can wash away my sin?
Crowd called out to crucify. They nailed him to a rugged cross and left them there to die. They gambled for the royal robe he wore, not knowing they had crucified my Lord. He bore the sin and shame of all mankind as he hung there dying. I was on his mind. His sacrifice and love some don't appreciate, but I would like to speak and set the record straight. That's my God, and I love him. That's my Jesus, he died for me. For all the world to hear, I'll say it loud and clear. That's my God, that's my fairy tale. He's just a myth or legend. His presence is not real. His word is not correct politically. They curse and mock his name defiantly. Oh, but time has never changed the changeless one. Their lies cannot disprove the existence of his Son. Though some may be content to just sit by, I for one must stand and testify. That's my God, and I love him. That's my Jesus. He died for me. For all the world to hear, I'll say it loud and clear. That's my God. That's my God. And I love him.
That's my
Jesus. He died for me.
Room of my Savior, I find sweet relief.
I find comfort for my grief.
And when my cup is overflowing, and he fills it to the rim, what a blessed consolation when I bring it all to him.
So I'll just bring it all to him, when no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. And when the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh, it sure is good knowing I can bring it all to him.
Somebody gave you the microphone. They did. And so anyhow, if you don't I do mind.
Ladies, come on up here.
Amen.
And we're going to take time to pray for them.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, if you're not able to go, you can sit right where you're at. If you're not able to go here, that's all right. You're fine. It says you can sit right over here if you don't want to have to kneel down on that hard floor. We want to make you comfortable. Hey, I'm sure that everybody across the country is praying for them. But who knows but what one of you ladies.
That's right.
Can get a hold of God in her back.
Thank you.
See?
Amen.
Who knows but what God will listen to the faithfulness of you godly women here. You come on around
yes.
anywhere you want to and anywhere you want to. All right. As you know, she's good. We'll be good. We're right there. She's just going to sit down. Just sit down on the edge of that. Here, I'll help you sit down. All right. Let's pray with every fiber of our being. Our Father, we want to thank you for the goodness of God. We ask your blessings now upon this dear sister and upon her husband. And Lord, we know that, Lord, you're the great physician. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we're asking you to do something so miraculous in her life that only you could get the credit for it. We want to say thank you for having heard and answered prayer in days gone by.
Yes.
Dear God, we realize and know that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there's none else. And I pray your blessings now upon this dear family and this dear sister. Mm-hmm. And we ask you, Lord, to give them grace to be able to face the days ahead. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.
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 All right, ladies, God bless you. Thank you very much. Y'all can take time to hug her. Yeah, we're not in no rush. Just go ahead and take your time all the way around. Yeah. Turn to your seat and would you be by? We're not going to play checkers or anything. Well, I mean, you don't have to. I just. Now, you're probably thinking, well, you know, you probably ought to have that before the last song. Well, that's kind of what I was thinking. Sometimes the Lord just works it out. I thought, I'll just wait and do it tonight. And so we don't want to be presumptuous with the Lord. Hey, God, can hear and answer prayer.
Yeah, that's right.
And Brother Gullet, you come right on. We're glad your church is not hypocritical. He's pastored for 25 and a half years. River Hill. Is that, what's the name of it?
River Hill, Baptist Church.
Baptist Church. And it's by a river, it's on a hill. Be hypocrisy to have a church that was called that, not no be no river around.
Yeah, or a hill.
time we have apples here.
Yeah, amen. All right.
Take your time. Turn that button on, please.
It is. All right. Well, I've enjoyed the service this morning very much. I've enjoyed the good songs and good singing and the good fellowship. I certainly appreciate what you've done for my wife. When Brother Dennis says, come on up here if you don't mind, I said I do mind because I thought that he was calling her up to preach as a joke. You can't tell when he's joking and when he's serious. Because he was like, you know, we love Brother Gullick, and he's getting ready to come preach, and so, Miss Janie, if you don't mind, come on. I thought, you know, I just thought it was one of his sarcastic jokes, and I was expecting everybody to start laughing, and so I assumed that y'all all wasn't sure either. So he said, all you ladies come. So my apologies for misinterpreting where he was going with that. But thank you for praying for Jeannie. Thank you that she is on your prayer list. And we do believe that God hears and answers prayer. And so thank you so much for that. And have enjoyed every Sunday morning that I have been here on this anniversary Sunday where you have honored your pastor. And that blesses my heart that you do esteem him and honor him highly for his work's sake. And I rejoice to be able to be a part of that. Amen. When you do that. To me, the best part of it was this morning when Brother Mark came up here after he had given the cards and then gave the checks. That was the best part. Oh, yeah, you tell. He's looking that card over and trying to figure out what he is going to say. So here's the thing about Brother Dennis. Now, he can dish it out. He can flat dish it out, and I like it. I like it. Look, you can't joke me hard enough to hurt my feelings. You can't be sarcastic enough. You can't. Listen, I like it. I think it's hilarious. Some people think it's abrasive, they take somebody like Brother Dennis, they think, you know, he's a aggravator and an agitator. I think it's hilarious. I find great comedy in it, even if it's directed towards me, I think it's hilarious. But I've always been of the persuasion that if you're like that, you know, if you dish it out, you ought to be able to take it. And so that's my only guiding rule about that. Just dish out as much as you want. Just get ready. You know, if you can dish it out and take it, I really respect that and appreciate that very much. So I just love the fact that y'all pulled one over on him and dished some out on him today. And waited to bring those checks up here after you'd given the cards. So that was priceless. That was just the whole thing was priceless. So thanks for what you did and the way that you did it. And I derived immense pleasure and joy in all aspects of that. So that is wonderful. Yeah, most people do. Most people do. So that's wonderful. All right, 1 Corinthians 16, and I'm looking forward to the meal. The Sunday lunch is always great here. So thank you all for your hard work and the way that you show hospitality and cook and provide. Certainly you know, but I know from firsthand and personal experience almost on a weekly basis that most churches don't show hospitality, and the meals are just some kind of something that's thrown together that is, the least time-consuming and least expensive way to put a meal out there. And I appreciate y'all going all out and doing your best and bringing the best. And you always go above board. With kindness, hospitality, and provision, and I enjoy and appreciate that more than I can tell you. And so yesterday it just began to work in my heart that I would start my Sunday morning message and then finish it tonight. So that's what I'm going to do. And I've been talking about it is what it is. And I mentioned last night that there is a war on words today. There is an attempt over the last 30 years to change the meaning of words, basic words, simple words, that have always been what they have been. They just are what they are. It is what it is. And yet there is this assault and attack to change these things. And I'm just reminding you of what you already know, and that is that these words have meaning and these meanings have truth. And we must hold to these meanings, truths, and defend these words at all costs in the face of opposition. So we talked about that word God on Friday night, and then that word woman last night. So I'm going to take just a few minutes, and I'll try to, you know, I'll be done with my part by 12, and I'll just pick right back up on it this evening. And so I want to talk about that word man. What is a man? And a man is what a man is. And I just felt like I'd be doing a disservice to the women and the men and being hypocritical if I preached 40 or 45 minutes last night to the women, then come in here and preach 10 minutes to the men, went and eat lunch, and then tonight, you know, just go on something else. I just don't think that's fair. Amen. I can't let you guys off the hook scot-free. I mean, that's just the way it is. And anyhow, I'm not coming in here preaching on these things, God and man and woman, because I think y'all need to be straightened out on this kind of stuff. So, I know a lot of preachers have an agenda wherever they go. You know, they just, you know, they already think about what, you know, what's wrong in that church that they need to go in straighten out. And I'm not that way, really, anywhere I go. I'm not thinking about here's what's wrong, I'm going to go in there and straighten it out. Like all men, I wrestle with pride and ego, but I'm not so proud and egotistical to think I could go anywhere in a few days straighten anything out. It just doesn't work that way in a Baptist church. So I'm not trying to straighten nothing out or, you know, coming in with any kind of agenda. God put these messages in my heart to preach over at this youth camp because I think it's something young people need to hear. Amen. And so, you know, things I'm preaching here this week, I just preached first part of the week. A lot of people, you know, a lot of them kids never, you know, 200-something kids, and a lot of them come out of rough home situation. They ain't never heard nothing like that in their whole life. Not that it's anything great that I'm preaching or doing. It's just something they've never heard, something they've never been taught, something they need. So it's working in my heart. I figured y'all could take it. You know, I don't have an agenda. You know, I don't. You know, I think y'all exemplify these qualities that I'm preaching on as good, if not better, than any church I've been in. I appreciate y'all dressing up for church. I mean, that's a lost thing today. I really respect that and appreciate, you know, I see it so little. I respect and appreciate people that take church seriously enough to dress up for it, act like they're coming to something special. Yes, and sir. You know, they ought to put their best clothes on and just take it serious. So thank you. So we'll talk about men. What is a man? 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 13 and 14. Verse 13 and 14. I'm going to introduce it, and then I'll come back and give an exposition of these two verses tonight. Verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. Be strong, let all your things be done with charity. Notice that phrase in verse 13, quit you like men. Quit you like men. This is a quotation from 1 Samuel 4 and 9 when Israel is in a battle with the Philistines. And it is said, quit yourselves like men. stand, be strong.
Yes.
And then it says it in that verse again for the second time, quit yourselves like men and fight. And so if you have a reference Bible, probably here in verse 13, there is a reference pointing you back to what Paul is quoting from over in 1 Samuel 4 and 9. Quit you like men. Be like men. There is an old adage that goes like this. It says, hard times create strong men. And strong men create good times. And good times create weak men. And then weak men create hard times. Did you get that? I really believe that's true.
Yes, sir.
That hard times create, it makes for strong men. And when you have a bunch of strong men, they will create and make for good times. But then those same good times that those strong men have created, those good times, they ultimately create very weak men. And then those weak men create hard times, and the cycle begins again. About 80 years ago, 80 and 90 years ago, the world was going through World War I and World War II. And the turn of the 20th century, the world was facing some very hard times. Wars like the world had never seen before. World wars. It was hard, hard times. The times between World War I and II were very difficult. That's when the Great Depression happened. And my grandparents came through the Great Depression. And I never had a father. I had a father. I just never had a father. And so my father left when my brother and I were babies. My brother was newborn, and I had just turned 3. And so I was raised by a single mother and her father, my grandfather. So as far as males went in my life, there was a generation gap. I was not raised by the baby boomer generation, which, the generation of my parents. I was raised by the generation before the baby boomer generation, which was grandparents. And so the only male figure that I had in my life was my grandfather. And so there was a generation gap. And my grandfather fought in World War II in Europe. He was shot 2 different times. Now, he was not a godly man in any way, form, or fashion, but he was a manly man. And he was one of those men, my grandfather was one of those men who was born in like 1917, if my memory is right, maybe 1914. And he came through the Great Depression as a teenager and then joined the services for the purpose of fighting in World War II in the 1940s. And he was shot 2 different times. He earned not the Congressional Medal of Honor, but he did earn the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star. And so he was a manly man. And he came up in those hard times. World War I, Great Depression, World War II. And those hard times made for some very, very strong men. Strong men. You understand what I'm saying? I don't have any confidence in Tom Brokaw, but I will tell you this. I was making a little joke there. But he did say the greatest generation of American men was the World War II generation. I agree with him on that. Those hard times that my grandfather came through made for some very strong men. And those strong men out of World War II were such strong men and such determined, disciplined, hard-working men. They created some very good times from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Those men made for some very good times in this country. Economies thrived. Free market capitalism exploded, and the middle class grew exponentially during those times, during those decades, where a lot of America's wealth was going to the middle class. But those good times, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, into this 21st century, began to create some very, very, very weak men. Weak, pathetic, disgraceful, ineffectual men. And those weak men, over the last 30 years have brought us back full scale, full circle to very hard times. Look at America. Look at America. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with America. It's the males in this country. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with the women. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with the women. It's the men. Women wouldn't be the way they are today if men weren't the way they are today. When Adam and Eve sinned, who did God blame? Who was tempted and sinned first? Eve was tempted and sinned first. Adam sinned second. Who did God blame for it? God blamed Adam. God put all the responsibility upon Adam. Women are like they are because men are like they are. Yes. Women will never become what they are to be until men become what they are. Yes. Men. The problem in this country is that good times created very weak men.
That's where we're at.
That have created very, very, very hard. In Jeremiah 5:1, God said, go out into the streets. Look. Look throughout Israel. See if you can find a man. See if you can find... Did that mean there were no males in Israel at the time? There were only females? No, there were plenty of males. There just wasn't a man. Everybody knows the passage over in Ezekiel, I believe it's 22 and 30, where it said God, the Jeremiah passage, God told Israel, go out and look for a man if you can find one. The Ezekiel passage said God look for a man who would stand in the gap and make up the hedge, and he found none, could not find one man. Not one man that he could stick in the gap and make up a hedge. Not one man. That Ezekiel 22:30 passage said, because God could not find one man, he poured out his indignation on that people and destroyed them in his wrath. That's what you see happening in America right now. Because God cannot find a man, he is pouring out his indignation and wrath on this country. And all the blame for everything we see in America lies squarely on the shoulders of American men. Let's stand for prayer. Pastor's coming. One of the marks of being a real and true man is that real men take responsibility. They take responsibility for their wives. They take responsibility for their kids. Take responsibility for their work, their job, their church. Real men take responsibility for their nation and country and own it. We own it. May God help us males to be real men that take responsibility.